from EFM.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for your benefit, Honorable Khaula, we can introduce ourselves so that you know who we are. We went very, very well with Honorable Machobeni as a committee. I am British Lover, chair of this committee. On my right is Dr. Sibu Uzayo, college advisor. On my left is Jerry Bortina, committee secretary. Honorable members, can you introduce yourself?
Morning, everyone. My father told me that my name will be Lucinto, and I just believed and went with that name. And my family is Kubela, member of this committee representing the African National Congress, coming from Mpumalanga province.
Committee chair in the committee. My name is Sibiwe Begwa, from KZN, representing AAC.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patricia Adams, and I represent the ANC this committee.
Good morning, Chair, members, and government. I'm Malcolm Akrajela, member of this committee, representing the African National Congress from Limpopo Province. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is James Force. I'm the UN spokesperson on tourism, and I'm from the Western Cape Province.
Olweni igalan ngutimu ngosi yikawula so EFF isuga yitin ke tapay ngosi.
Good morning everyone, I'm Craig Kambach, I represent the Democratic Alliance on the Tourism Committee as well, and I'm from KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning everyone, I'm Cindy Sosa's Council Executive Secretary for the Chairperson, thank you.
Morning everybody, Ismail Hussain from PNG.
Molweni, Ngikhokela Lobi, Committee Section.
Delane Philip, SABC.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues. My name is Vintarake from the Department of Tourism.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. My name is Lomza Mubeni from the Department of Tourism. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mubeni from the Department of Tourism. Thank you, Chair, honorable members. I'm Shana Chetra. I'm the DDG for Policy and Knowledge Services.
Good morning, honorable Chair, honorable members. I'm Amy Milan. I'm the DDG for International Tourism Management.
Morning, Chairperson. Members, Ralph Ackerman, CFO.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Thabo Makubiru from National Department of Tourism.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm Nurdane Kamura, the Chief of Staff in the Ministry of Tourism.
Good morning, all. I'm Melanie Tigers, CEO of the Office of the Minister.
Morning, all. My name is Sardar Moreni from DGFPO.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Peter Van Niekerk. I'm a parliamentary liaison officer in the Office of the Director General. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The department is here to present on the fourth quarter and the fourth quarter report, which is a Section 32 requirement of the PFMA. Didi, I am going to give you from now to 8:45. But before we start, Jerry, any apologies?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, we have presented three apologies, one from the Minister, the other one from the Deputy Minister, and then the third one from Honorable Kevin Kulchak. Those are the three apologies we have. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. President.
to the honorable members. Honorable Chairperson, we've got a full team, and we will try to adhere to the allocated time. I will just give brief remarks in terms of how we are going to run with the problem. We are mindful, gentlemen, that we are doing this presentation in September, and we will be talking about the last quarter, which was January to March of this calendar year, but which was the last quarter of the financial year. Of course, one of the things that one would like to state is that we have already subsequently concluded processes with regards to the annual reporting, and that quarter itself does have a relationship with the annual report. But today we are mindful that what we are presenting is actually the quarter itself. And in presenting that quarter, sometimes the picture that we are actually putting across doesn't show the totality, because we're talking about a specific period. And within that period, sometimes we may be talking about a quarter where 2 of 20 things were to be done. And those two things are done, but there's a whole lot of things that would have been done prior to getting to that particular point. I do wish to share with the Honorable Chairperson, with the committee, that we have already tabled our reports for the annual report, and of course we do have a future date which we are then going to come and be in a position to provide a lot more detail about that. So as we present, in some instances the reference to whether all the things that were meant to be done during the year, or certain things that we are pretending, that would keep coming through. But we will also spend a little bit of more time in explaining in terms of areas where there's been a diversion in what we would have planned originally and where we are with regards to those issues and so on. So there are certain areas, and in all those areas we would spend a little bit of more time trying to actually provide an explanation in that regard. So we will have the CFOs then to be the first person to do the presentation, just to recap in terms of how did we use the resources during that particular period, and then we will then go to the remainder of all the other programs. I do know that SAT was here a week or so ago, and they took you through the details about the positive developments that we are seeing within the tourism landscape in terms of the recovery that we are seeing with regards to the growth of tourism, particularly for markets like India and China, and that is quite encouraging on our part. But we are not going to bore you with that detail, because you were adequately briefed about it in the last thing with the entity. Thank you. The CFO will answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
Can continue.
It's on page 4. The budget and expenditure review as at 31st March 2016. You can see the department has a budget of 1.794 billion. Our expenditure at the end of 31st of March was 1.777 billion, which is 91.1% of the budget. For the credit program, we spent 98.9%, property knowledge service 99.2%, international tourism 98.9%, and domestic tourism 98.9%.
on page 5, which is just a breakdown of economic classification. On the current payments, you can see that the spend was 97.6%. On transfer payments, it was 99.6%. Capital assets, we have 100% spending. And in payment for financial assets, it's 99.8% in total. Our spending was 99.1%.
With regard to the milestone we had planned for the particular course in total, the department had 57 targets for quota 4 in order to match 2060. The pie chart on slide 8 indicates where we had worked that was achieved the plan for that particular quota, and where that was where we had made some significant progress but had not met the target in full was the first question, and what that considered to be quite behind was the second. And with regard to Soviet Manche.
Where are we now?
Media engagement were implemented. complaints office continue to receive complaints from tourists and assess them appropriately in terms of the requirements of the Act, and we continue to target the percent expenditure procurement and BEE enterprises which we achieve.
Thank you. Progress to just overarching, we had 21 targets in last year's APP, and 20 of those targets were achieved. On page 18, targets that were not achieved was actually the NTSS. So the draft NTSS has been developed. The reason that that target was not achieved is because we wanted to embark on very extensive consultation with regards to the NTSS process, and rather than simply put in place a draft document for compliance, we wanted to ensure that it incorporated a large number of elements from our consultation process. We do have a document in place at present, and we are in fact at the moment embarking on a detailed policy review. The information, we are on page 18. Yes, still on page 18. I think we might have it up on the screen. So the extensive policy process that we're embarking on at the moment will also have implications for the draft that we have in place. As once we have actually inputted that information, we will publish the document for public comment. The National Tourism Stakeholder Forum, which is the first target, is aligned to actually implementation on the NTSS, and that target was achieved. Slide 19, which is the next slide, relates to the new regulations for tourist guides, and we did present to this committee in May this year. The regulations have been published, and the target for last year was achieved. We are in the process of actually taking all of the public comments from the process into account in our revisions of the what was published. The database for BEE, that target was also achieved, so this is really testing functionalities of matching suppliers to people who want to purchase services. Slide 20, etc., relates to capacity building for local government policymakers, and that target was also achieved last year. If we go on to slide 21, there are two targets related to universal accessibility. The first target, which is awareness raising, was completed in quarter four. Training of staff in government-owned provincial parks, there was not a target for quarter four. The training actually happened in previous quarters, so that is why that target actually says none. If we move to slide 22, which looks at the tourist guiding program for Robben Island and Fear the Fourth Dome, we specified five guides at Fear the Fourth Dome and 25 guides at Robben Island. So a total of 30 tourist guides were trained in both facilities and certified and completed the process. Slide 23 relates to capacity building programs for visitor information centers, and this really looks at the review of the tourist information and guiding capacity at World Heritage Sites. This is really trying to move forward the program into this financial year. So the review of the guide training at those World Heritage Sites was completed, and the recommendations are being taken into the programs for this year. Slide 24 talks to the Executive Development Program for Black Women. The program has been launched, and as we speak, there are 20 learners who are currently going through the program. So this target was achieved for quarter four last year. Robben Island, we're talking about the destination development plans for Robben Island and Walter's Sulu Botanical Gardens. Both destination development plans were actually completed. But in quarter four, there was also the opportunity to develop destination development plans for the National Heritage Monuments and for the ocean economy work. So those two were in addition to the completed plans for Robben Island and the Walter's Sulu Botanical Gardens. The Tourism Resource Efficiency Program, which is on slide 26, is really a program that is implemented in partnership with the National Cleaner Production Center. And it really is helping businesses to look at all elements of responsible usage of resources. So it looks at elements of electricity, but it's also around waste, and it's also around water. That target, which was around the resource efficiency assessment in the Free State, was in fact completed for that course as well. The final tool for universal accessibility is also being developed, and the report on the implementation of universal accessibility in state of parks has also been achieved for quarter four. The Tourism Enterprise Program, I think we've also had discussions with the committee on this program. Three programs were implemented last year. It was the first year of implementing the Tourism Incentive Program. In the Market Access Program, 80 enterprises were actually supported at 10 international trade shows. The Tourism Grazing Program, as I had expressed before, we had 5,742 requests sent out. Of those, it was a really disappointing response of 206 applications that we received. In the program this year, we have actually worked with the Tourism Grain Council to address some of the challenges around the implementation of the program, because of the 5,700 that we actually direct invitations that we sent out, it was a really disappointing response of only 206 that came back. And the program itself was actually designed and developed in extensive consultation with our partners in the private sector as well as in the public sector. So this year we are, of course, anticipating a much higher uptake of the program, given that we have learned some lessons from the piloting of the grading program. The energy efficiency program involves retrofitting 8-owned attractions with solar photovoltaic bulbs. Those were really in our sand parks and sand resites, and then at Robben Island. In quarter four, what was achieved in terms of that particular project was that it was a very, very extensive and intensive procurement process in order to get it right again. And at the end of quarter four, we had signed our MOUs and transferred the seed funding for the project. That was actually based on detailed work that had been done by an engineering consultancy firm, working with our teams to ensure that the program was correct from a technical perspective. Slide 27 talks to the state of tourism report and impact evaluations that were completed for the SRI projects, as well as the NTSS implementation report, and all of the targets around our monitoring and evaluation program were achieved in quarter four. Slide 28 talks to the tourism knowledge portal. A five-year plan is actually being developed for enhancement. That was target for that quarter. This largely relates to the enhancement that we are putting in place to ensure that our research information is enhanced and accessing it is made much easier, and also that our business process information related to the statistics and trends for tourism actually finds detailed expression on the Tourism Knowledge Portal. Slide 29 talks to our national tourism information gateways at Kinshasa and at Oa Tambo, and the target of actually an enhancement program and a monitoring program for both those national tourism information centers was achieved in that quarter. The last slide really talks to the research program that we have with universities. We conducted four detailed research studies last year on local economic development, community participation, regional tourism competitiveness, and service excellence. And all of those research findings are available actually on our website. So those research reports were completed last year. Anemi?
Thank you. Thank Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Program 3, slide 31, and I will speak from slide 32. The first topic relates to the capacity building program that we do together with DERCO for our South African missions abroad. And in terms of delivery, we managed to present to all the capacity building programs that DERCO had during the year. The challenge that we had is that we really wanted to have a program beforehand in the beginning of the year so that we can plan better. unfortunately, the program was not available, but we did manage to present to all the training that was offered by the as part of the training program to the mission abroad. Our second target relates to capacity building, especially the training of trainers, APT chef trainers. I think this is where the challenge comes in terms of reporting for the quarter only. The program was not implemented in the fourth quarter, and the main reason for that was that our trainers that came from a hotel school in Paris, in France, could only be available during their holiday period, which was in the middle of April. So although all the logistics did take place and everything was in place, the actual training only happened in April because that was when the trainers were available to do the training. Moving to slide 33, speaking about our tourism source markets and that we have to do development plans for the year, we targeted 20. In the fourth quarter, it relates to three exhibitions. It's a national exhibition where we managed to do two, and three engagements where we did two at the end. I think that also speaks to specifically reporting on the quarter, and when you do the annual reporting, honourable members, you will realise that we at the end managed to do all the or most of the of the source market development plans. The reason behind this is that, you know, there's an ever-changing environment, so although we plan to do a country in a specific quarter, sometimes it happens in another quarter because of the changing environment. There's also the issue of ad hoc countries that are prioritized during the year, and we need to decide how we allocate our resources. So in our annual reporting, I think it will become clear that the target was met, although not in the fourth quarter. The fourth target on slide 33 speaks to the ministerial session at the this year's tourism in Daba, 26 tourism in Daba, where all the logistics had to be finalized. The plans were in place, and in Daba, the ministerial session was subsequently held on the 6th of May this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Manini. We're now on domestic tourism management.
Slide 35.
The first target was to develop a tourism month project plan in preparation for the September month, tourism month, which is going to be held in Paris, in the Free State. And the following target is for zone enterprises supported for development. This was in partnership with TEP, and it was basically for the 100 rural enterprises which were identified last year. These were dispersed throughout the provinces, but few were found in Gauteng as well as in Northwest. The following initiative was on the National Tourism Career Expo, which was held in Bloemfontein in October, and we are currently preparing for the one that will be held from the 29th of September to the 1st of October. Yesterday we had a media launch in Bloemfontein in preparation for the NTC. Our educated tutor programs were implemented in all the 9 provinces, but in the fourth quarter, it was Limpopo that was sending. This was aligned to the Marula Festival, which they are holding every year around the festival. We also have a tourism resource development strategy review, which we have commissioned the HSRC to help us. In the fourth quarter, they were able to come up with a draft preliminary report. We also had a food safety program where we're supposed to have recruited, matched, and placed 300 students within the industry. This is one of those targets which we're not fully achieved. The following one is on capacity building to local government. We have six district municipalities which we supported. That's where the Rigwala, Nkamudiri, Zedas Gau, Dr. Rushin Party, as well as Mbomazi.
basically here we come up with a platform where the industry together with municipalities comes together to discuss issues related to tourism. And we're able to reach plus and actually 469 people. We also have a program on credit excellence. In this one we're supporting Robben Island as well as Miami Game Reserve in terms of the implementation of the credit excellence standard. For Robben Island we have completed this and it will be something that will be launched together with the Robben Island the coming month of October. Manyani, we have started to work on what are the things that will make them to really be able to render the things that are very good once the project is completed. We also have conducted 9 service excellence awareness raising sessions, which in the fourth quarter, it was Northwest and Limpopo which were attending. The following one is on the Antwerp Treasure Route. We have a partnership with the association in terms of ensuring that tourism projects along the Antwerp communities around those projects will do benefit. It's a partnership that will be going on for the next, actually we are left with 1 year instead of last year. It's a 3-year partnership. All the other ones are to provide funding for tourism interpretation signs at three World Heritage Sites, that is Cradle of Human Kind, Newport, and Isimarabiku. We're able to provide the funding to the state. The last one is on the full-time equivalent jobs created through the SRI program. The type for the quarter was 1,053. For that quarter, we were able to achieve only 316, but at the end of the year, we were able to exceed the annual target. Thank you.
Thank you. There are three areas that I want to amplify. The first one is the NTSS, as well as the domestic tourism related work. So the second one is the work pertaining to the EPWP, which essentially relates to our infrastructure development work that we use as particular funding for. And the last one is the area of international tourism. I was talking about international tourism tourism. There are a number of soft objectives that we pursue that don't necessarily feature in the plan. This is quite a whole lot of things, and previously we indicated that if required, we could come and actually give you a whole presentation on what actually we're doing in that particular space. I'll give an example to try and demonstrate this. At a time when we were, when cabinet had given us a go ahead to work with tourism companies within the different markets, such that they would be able to facilitate applications or visas for their clients. At that same moment, we needed to actually go and utilize the existing relationships that are through the different memorandum of agreement that we've got with those countries to be able to access data within their own domain. Now, if you take an example like China, when that decision was taken, we were able to go to the Chinese and start to work with the Chinese to be able to access the information with regards to who within the Chinese system is accredited to do business within the tourism sector and taking people out of the country. And what are the requirements for those people and how then do they get certified? And ultimately, we were able to have a bilateral arrangement that allowed us to say these particular companies will be able to actually
provide that kind of assistance, and we will be able to accept from their clients if these things are being brought by them. So there's a lot of such work that we do, but it doesn't necessarily feature. And I think it is something that we need to find some base of being able to share with the committee. Some of the work that gets done by the entity in terms of going to a particular market and then start to do the actual marketing within that environment, there's a lot of work that we do before they actually get into that environment to make sure that the relations are in order. The access to the different positions on the website is ready. So those kind of things don't necessarily change the reports that we actually provide. I think there's a need for us to be able to give that totality of that picture when it comes to the work that we do in the industry environment, including some of the work that we do within the regional context. Over the past, I would say, 3 years, we have gone through a very extensive process of the reform of the institutional arrangements within the tourism context in the sub-region within SADC. And that work has now come to conclusion, but we were quite instrumental in that whole process of making sure that the voice of private sector within the context of marketing the broader SADC region is actually also included in this system. So we've gone through the changes of those systems and so on. And this is work that does not necessarily feature here. But I would like to make a proposal that at the future date, we do get an opportunity to actually take the committee through what it is that we do in that particular environment. There's a lot of work that we do in that space. And that does require the audience of the committee. On the work that we are doing, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, with regards to the expired public works program, what we have gone through, we went, and this does require its own session, I would say, to be able to go into the real detail of what exactly are the issues. But we've gone through a very extensive process of, firstly, let me say there was a change in the accounting policy for the Accountant General, which is one of the offices within National Treasury, responsible for setting the guidelines in terms of the reporting requirements of finances of departments, had brought in a particular change in the manner that we should account. Previously, accounting for EBWT-related work would have been accounting for expenditure. And the movement was from accounting for expenditure to accounting for expenditure and the assets that come with that particular expenditure. So through that particular process, we're able to then determine what really belongs to us, what does not belong to us, what should be in our books, what should not be in our books. We have gone through that process. We have concluded that part of that particular process. The second part of what we are now doing, we have brought in GTEC. GTEC is Government Advisory, Technical Advisory Committee kind of committee. It's a government institution that basically has the requisite capacity to provide technical and economic advisory services within government on matters such as this one. So we are going through the projects that are in our books to say this particular project, this is what it requires from a technical point of view to come to conclusion, but this is also what it requires for its economic viability. That whatever interventions then we bring into that space is properly informed by technical and proper economic advice. And we believe that this is the only way that we would be able to come to a proper conclusion of those particular projects. And we are looking at all the aspects from that particular perspective, but we do know that we going forward, we have a very clear plan in terms of how we're going to be able to conclude this. So those I thought I should share, Chairperson, so that at least there is a proper context in terms of some of the delays and so on. But as we go through the details of this, we'll be able to give you a very clear picture in terms of what in essence are some of these delays. Some of them are things that we certainly do have control over and we'll be able to deal with those. Some of them are things that are not necessarily within our control. A typical example where the project where initially a piece of land is said to be not necessarily requiring any form of assessment, environmental and otherwise, because there was something built there previously. And then subsequently, an alternative becomes, whilst we are about to set that, no, actually you do need an assessment of this place. We go through that assessment, it gets completed, and then it goes through an appeal process, and then we get a flood of appeals, and then those appeals, they deal with them, and so on. And then ultimately, something comes out that says, yes, you will do this, but subject to following conditions. So those things, they do come in as we actually are about to roll out projects and so on. But those things that we are actually within control, that are within our own control, we will be open about them and we'll be able to advise you that in this case we are and this is what we are doing. NTSS, we put together was a very good document, which we were very happy about, and we were quite sure that within the first quarter of this year, this document would then be ready for us to actually proceed with. Unfortunately, whilst that was the case, as we went through this process now of the review of the legislative, which they're going to talk to when they talk about the first quarter, the review of the legislative process and so on, the law reform process, a lot of policy nuances were starting to come up. And certain areas that as we look into and we are realizing those areas are actually not adequately provided for in that particular document, we are going to have a challenge because we'll be in a perpetual mode of actually reviewing the same document. So we then took a decision that rather not put a stamp to this thing and pull it out, and we look good, it looks great, but knowing very well that we're going to have to come there because the issues that are coming up are very substantive. So we are now back into that particular process. It will be done within the year. We will conclude it. At the moment, the current NTSS document is still valid. It is a 2020 document, and there is no vacuum. It is complete. Domestic tourism, we have seen some movement of late in terms of the performance. We have now gone through a lengthy process of consultation because what we have picked up is we have a domestic tourism document dated not 2010 document. We had it before the 2010 document. We had a domestic tourism document that was dated somewhere around 2003-04. But before that, there was even a previous domestic tourism document. And this is where problems and so on are coming from. And then we've got the 2010 document. And we're looking at all these documents, and we are saying, they don't look very much different. From then, all the way, these documents don't look very much different. And we realized that what we were getting also, which is coming out in terms of what kind of areas of focus on, are starting to look almost the same as well. So we then said, we can't, for the sake of doing it, go and do more of the same. Rather, let's take a slight step back and allow a proper process that goes into a research mode, not a length research, and independently done research that would actually lift out from the various players their actual experiences in terms of what is happening on the ground. So we are talking to operators that are dealing with some of these issues. We are talking to some of the product owners and so on, independently, not directly through us. And they are listing these things and they are indicating what their experience has been, why certain things work, or why certain things are not working. And that is what is going to inform the ultimate document that we are actually going to come up with. It is one of our biggest priorities, but we really want to make sure that we do it right. Of course, as they present the first quarter, you will find certain context may suggest that, okay, we are slightly behind and so on. But we are confident that we will be able to do it within the period, and we just need to make sure that it is done correctly, so that whatever informs it is something that is not just what we think, but what the experience of the ground is, so they can just what is actually happening. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I wonder if we should have this one, or we should allow for the first quarter so that we judge our patients and come up with
all our questions for the presentation. Can I hear from you, Honorable Kumbo?
Sure, I prefer if we do the first round of questions now because the presentation is fresh in our mind.
All right.
And it might help us to understand better the answer.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I have two specific questions and then the broader question. The first one is on page 41, which refers to the SRI program. As I understood what was being said, the actual performance must meet the quarterly target, about 30-odd% of that. But I thought I heard the presenter say that subsequently to that, it was met. I see someone nodding, so I take that as true. That's on page 41. Now, if you go to page 47, it says what is reflected on page 41. 216 full-time equivalent jobs created through the SRI program gains the target. But that says winding down of the training project drastically reduced the number of participants on project sites that could not meet the target for the third and fourth quarter. Now, I'm not quite sure whether that is in fact a contradiction of what the slide on 41 says, unless the third and fourth quarter there is another third and fourth quarter. It's a bit confusing. More to the actual SRI program, Chair, you remember we went on an oversight visit on Eastern Cape to look at one relatively unsuccessful project which was badly managed without an EIA, without project management, that was unfinished, was overspent. And we've had presentations in our committee with many of these projects. Many of them on paper seem quite worthy and the type of places that we want to, as a nation, reflect our history and where we come from. But we've never really got to grips with a comparative analysis which is to say, how much does this actually cost? How many full-time equivalent jobs are created? And how does it compare with other projects that government, other departments are implementing? So that we get an idea in this committee whether those expenditures in tourism to create full-time equivalent jobs are in fact benchmarked against proper international or even South African standards. I still do not know from this presentation or from previous presentations whether how many has been optimally spent on that particular project, that particular item within the tourism budget. I see there is on one of the subsequent slides another reference to the fact that that kind of report, I hope that kind of report has in fact been completed. I think it's on page, I'm not sure which page it's on, but it talks about an SRI project report. And we really need to see that so that we can get that understanding on whether this money is being optimally spent. Then on page 5, there is the expenditure for economical transportation. And non-profit institutions form a very small part of the budget, about 1.5%, 24.5 million rand. One of the things we come up with and notice very often in our oversight that we conduct in our own provinces and generally is that there are many, many tourism projects which are either funded by the private sector or managed by volunteers. And reference was made this year's EPCs to one such project and are supported by an NGO, which is a non-profit NGO, and staff who are very, very poorly paid, and if they deliver a quality service to literally millions of people. And the question I'd like to put to the department is, do they believe we're doing enough to divert or to allocate sufficient resources to those kind of projects where, quite frankly, the department doesn't have a footprint and where it's not for the fact that there are people giving up their time and their labor voluntarily and for nothing, and there wouldn't be tourism opportunities at all. And it seems to me that we could be doing more to support those kind of initiatives which very often municipalities can't or won't support. And then my general point is that I understand that the department is just like every other entity that appears before our committee, are asked to report certain things, and if we can't criticize them for the stuff that we didn't ask them to report on. But over the years, I think we've picked up that there is quite a big problem in integrating the various government departments that together have an impact on the tourism product offering, particularly to overseas visitors. So tourism does operate in a silo. There's a certain amount of interaction with the Department of Arts and Culture. There is a huge overlap with COTA because many of the tourist resorts are managed by local municipalities. There is, as we've pointed out many times before, and there's a brief reference in this report to it, a significant overlap with the roads department because they have a joint responsibility on signage to tourism resorts. And what we've found over the years is that many of even the most iconic tourism sites are badly maintained, vandalized, overgrown with weeds, littered with rubbish, no road signage, poorly advertised, and the department in a sense has hands tied because it's other departments that have to actually get those aspects right. But what we're doing is damaging our product branding overseas because people come to see Heroes Acre or Congela Park or whatever it is, and they find something which is not necessarily what we'd want international tourists to see. Now, the question I want to put to you is this, Chief, is can we next time, when the department comes to brief us, can we ask them for a report on, for example, the 20 or 30 tourist attractions that should be on the top of the list, something like that, for any international tourist, maybe as many as 50. And what has the progress been working with the road department, or in this case, Department of Transport, to sort out signage problems? Because in some cases it's been dragged on for 5 years. Some of these issues were raised in the previous parliament, in the fourth parliament. What has the progress been working with COTA, or the actual municipalities or metro concerned, to clean up and refurbish and smarten up those types of tourist attractions? What is the Department of Arts and Culture? What's the interaction with them? Is this product offering up to standard? Because that's what we don't have in this report. This report is very inward looking, and correctly so, because what we've asked them to report on it as the program. One would like to see an appreciation of the fact that this department can't deliver the tourism product on its own. It needs the support and close cooperation of other government departments, other ministries. What I would really like to see is after 10 long years of asking this particular question, that has become centerpiece in the Department of Tourism's report to us, a briefing to us, and they tell us, these are the biggest attractions in the country, these are the problems, this is what we've done, working with other ministries to actually address those problems so that the international tourist doesn't have to worry and should not be really concerned about, well, it's not my problem, it's transport or it's cost problem. They just want to see a good product. And let's get a progress report on what the status and the success has been, or otherwise, of interaction with other departments to get some of these issues right. Because these issues go on for year after year after year. We don't get reported on it. We get told about the wellness program and the capacity building program and how much money is spent on administration, which is all well and good. But at the end of the day, the tourists from India or China, which are our growth markets, looks at a really, really disappointing monument or iconic attraction, which is, as I say, overgrown, vandalized, and says, I'm not coming back to South Africa. And it doesn't really matter what your wellness program is. You've actually not delivered a good product, and you've actually turned away as a repeat tourist. So can you please get a report on that? Because without that intergovernmental cooperation, in a sense, we are not necessarily focusing on the single most important thing, which is to get the product right.
Yes, I think, sorry, I've got one, two, mine, it's on page 12, where it refers to the uncertain development of, I assume, this development, with the Malaysia of workplace index. And I heard that the CEO was indicating that it's soft skills. But one would have been interested to know exactly the type of skills, because one of the critics against companies that engage in skills development, they tend to engage on skills development basically to get grants, and also when it comes to the type of skills, that are implemented are skills that generally do not have impact into the economy. So one would be interested to know the type of skills that the department is and teach on. I see talk about 27 skills plan that was implemented, which I will not be on. A key issue is the type of skills that you will teach on. Also, if you look at the reporting column, from where I'm sitting, I would have been interested to see an additional column that talks to the impact. Because it's well and good to say that this was cut here, this was done, but you are in limbo when it comes to check as to whether there was an impact. Because you know that both companies, including the department, they do targets, obviously people have to get their bonuses and stuff. But for me, as a person that will have to hold the department accountable, I would be interested to check as to whether this target has had the desired impact. You see, so that we can also advise if the target is necessary or not necessary. You see, given the type of impact it has. The last comment that I want to have is that which is the trend almost to all departments. Normally we report on a helicopter view. Helicopter view generally about the performance of the department, but sometimes it does not get into specific in terms of what happens in the individual provinces. Because the reality is that you want to check whether the department is having an impact across all provinces, or your performance targets are actually achieved in a key way. In a way to say that there are some provinces where they are barren in terms of tourism activities. So that we also check what is the best of the department to ensure that all the provinces are actually achieved when it comes to tourism. So what I'm saying is that it would be interesting to actually get an idea in terms of what each province is contributing towards the tourism activities of the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got 9 points I would like to list. Firstly, for the tourism department to reach its goals, more must be done to hold cross-cutting ministries to account. We cannot have a situation which recently occurred whereby Home Affairs issues visa regulations without considering the tourism impact, nor can we have a situation where tourist facilities are closing down because the road access, for example, is not properly maintained, and nor can we have a situation of bad meter as a result of a breakdown in law and order. Nor can we have a situation where we have unscrupulous operators charging what they like in our parks, our restaurants, and places of accommodation. So I'd like to know from the department in terms of their interventions with other departments to ensure that actions taken by other departments not necessarily impacts negatively on the ability of the tourism department to reach full potential, because tourism cannot operate in isolation. It needs the full support of other departments in terms of delivering on its mandate. Secondly, the issue of streamlining tourist facilitation to our country. The former Director General of Tourism reported to this committee at one of its portfolio committee meetings that a study was undertaken in respect of the benefits of electronic visas. And I would like to know from this Director General whether that study could be made possible, because I think ultimately that will assist us in streamlining tourist facilitation to our country, given the recent bad publicity about the long queues at the Oliver Tambo International Airport with regards to the in-person biometric application, and also still problems being experienced as far as the unofficial birth certificate is concerned. And then I do believe that the e-visas should be a measure to be considered, and therefore that study would be most welcome to elaborate on such benefits, because we know that in countries where e-visas has been implemented, we've seen a cut of time in terms of waiting for travel documentation to be issued, and all that's much more safer and secure. Thirdly, the point about the National Tourism Sector Strategy, Madam Chair, is a very important point, because that ultimately sets the framework for tourism promotion and development in our country and it encompasses most certainly all of our objectives and plans. But for me, personally, I do believe that this committee should play a much more important role in the development of their national tourism strategy. So in terms of the stakeholder engagements that you envisage, perhaps we should extend that to public hearings so that the committee can actively participate and engage the private sector in terms of setting up the new national tourism sector plan. Because that will really bring everything together in terms of product development, destination marketing strategies, the role of the private sector, opportunities within the tourism space, the role of the municipalities and provinces could also be clearly defined, and it will outline all the key markets and sectors. So I do believe that there would be much more benefit should we as a committee also take part in that stakeholder engagement. Then number four, Madam Chair, the visitor information centres. The presenter mentioned that there was a review of the visitor information centre role insofar as the World Heritage Sites is concerned. I would like to ask whether that review should not include all visitor information centres and not only the ones applicable to the World Heritage Sites. Because in some municipalities there is a complete lack of visitor information centres for various reasons, and in other municipalities you do have visitor information centres that perform very well and in some cases not so well. And there is an opportunity now for us to actually work out the full role and responsibility applicable to visitor information centres to ensure that they do perform very well in terms of providing overall visitor experience, visitor orientation, information about products and tourist attractions, etc. And I don't think we should stand back from that process. I do believe that the Department of Tourism needs to play a much more active role in defining the role of visitor information centres across the country and not only those applicable to World Heritage Sites. That takes me to the next point, Madam Chair, of the gateway centres. Mention was made that the gateway centres are placed at the Obatamba International Airport and at the Kinshasa International Airport. And my question is, why not at Cape Town International, given the fact that the air strategy that has been recently implemented in Cape Town is delivering amazing results with more direct flight coming from Botswana, Nairobi, London, Frankfurt, Ethiopia, Amsterdam and Dubai. Those are the new flight routes that has been negotiated as a result of the air strategy, and therefore it would make perfect sense also to include the Cape Town International Airport in that gateway strategy. Then number six, Madam Chair, relating to the National Tourism Sector Plan. The question then is specific about the role of provinces. Often it is said that the National Department of Tourism has a specific mandate, but we mustn't lose sight of the fact that provinces and municipalities have a role to play, and I do believe that a report outlining specifically the role of provinces, because if certain provinces are not delivering on tourism mandate for whatever reason, then clearly an impact on the national department delivering on its targets. So I would like to hear from the DG and his team specifically how they see that role to be clarified. Then the SRI projects, point number seven, my colleague has already alluded to that. So I think the progress report on the SRI projects to list those that are functional, those that are non-functional, and the reasons. Previously this committee has received reports of police investigations that have been entered into to deal with some of those projects. But I think once and for all, there needs to be a complete stop take of our SRI projects and how we're going to go into the future, working with SRI to make sure that we never sit in the same predicament, because it's ultimately the SRI project that will deliver on tourism infrastructure opportunities, because most of the work we do is about tourism promotion, destination marketing, etc. The SRI really speak to tourism infrastructure. Then point number eight is about domestic tourism. A report was given to this committee that Sandparks has agreed to introduce a discounted tariff structure for South African citizens. It's something that we've been asking for some time, because affordability is a big issue in terms of domestic tourism. And I would like to hear from the Deputy Director General responsible for domestic tourism, specifically on the sandbox situation. How far are we with the discussions with sandbox in terms of introducing that model of discounted access or tariffs for South African citizens? And then point number nine, my last point, Madam Chair, is about cruise tourism. We mentioned this previously, and I haven't heard anything today from the Director General with regards to cruise tourism. Now, we know that cruise tourism generates significant economic spillover benefits, not only for Port City, but for the national economy. And we know that Cape Town is now next in line for a dedicated cruise terminal. Now, the estimates done by our province in this regard is that it will generate around about 200 million rand to the local economy annually, and about 10,000 visitors to our province annually. So clearly, there is an opportunity for cruise tourism to form part of our strategy, and I would like to hear from the department whether cruise tourism will feature in their departmental plans going forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. My first question is on flight number. Delay to flight number 2 and flight number 7. Under international tourism. If you look at flight number 2, it talks of having achieved 98.9%. And when you get to flight number 7, it talks about having achieved 20 out of 80, something like this. So I want clarity today. Just if they contact each one another with speakers. The other one is in relation to the tourism guide capacitation of tourism guide on step number 22. I did not hear it very well how many are they. I know you did mention some figures, they are not there on the slide. If you can provide us with it. On slide number 37, about the 300 foot safety assurance candidate, the report says they were not placed, they're supposed to be placed, and they were not placed. What could be the reason? What are the challenges for the department not being in the position to place those 300? And what is our plan going forward? Slide number 39, I want to check if, for example, the plan was to implement in 9 provinces, but we end up implementing in 7, 2 are not and they were not capable. What happens in the next financial year in conjunction with those? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity, and thank you for the department on the presentation. Chair, a few of the questions that I would have liked to pose were already rendered. But I would start... I start with page 5. Can the CFO tell me, the current payment, and the first one is compensation for employment, for employees, and then the goods and services. You have spent 94.7% of the allocated budget. Why was it a bigger percentage spent there? If I look at the average of the other classified headings, they are almost all of them are more than 98% spent. And then what happened to that variance of 16.784 million? Thank you. Slide 16. There were a number of complaints by tourist complaints that were referred to authorities for resolution. Now they say 100%. What kind of complaint officer, what kind of a complaint was that? Did they liaise afterwards with the board to find out whether their complaints were satisfactory and What was the outcome of that? Then, here on the third, the same slide 16, they say 100% expenditure of payment from BEE Enterprises. What was the outcome for BEE Enterprises? If you say you have reached 100% target, what is the effect, what is the impact for the people of South Africa, for their specific people? Then she says, the other one is on slide. I would like to, the department, when you say there are tourism capacity building for policy makers at local government level, facilitators and rewarders and developers. I would like them to mention where it is. We don't have the APPs with us. Say where you have done this quarter. Which municipalities or which stakeholders did you get involved with? And for me, important impact. Then, Chairperson, on slide 26. They said the key performance indicator was a number of priority areas supported. You know, I know this is how National Treasury would adopt it, but the word a number of. You know that in that KPI, you will have 5 programs. Why don't you mention it? You say afterwards 3 priority areas. Why don't you say 5 priority areas supported? That number of doesn't go over me well. Now page slide 26, Jeff. 3 priority areas supported during the pilot phase. Now we got an explanation that they received, they rendered 5,700 direct invitations. Is that correct? 5,700. Yes. Yes. Invitations. And you received 206 invitations. Now that's a big discrepancy. What has the department done? Did they went to the other 4,500 and say, why didn't you respond to our invite? Because we want to get the larger community involved in tourism. As this is a strategy to create jobs. And I would really appreciate if there was very follow up in this regard. You see, I'm doing a study now on the involvement of the community in tourism. And that's why I'm asking this question. Because they might have problems that could easily have been solved. And how in any way, if you say 5,700, how did you get that information? Then Chairperson? That was on the website I was talking about. Then Chairperson, on slide 35, we say that KPI, a number of rural enterprises are in that number, and then they set target 100. Then they say quarterly target, file report on the 100 rural enterprises supported for development, the outcome. Do you measure that rural enterprises that you support? You liaise with the municipality to give aftercare. Then I was coming on this number of full-time equivalent jobs. The target, the concept of target of 1,000 and only 300. What was that she got in KHS? I think Chairperson, the people should also look at targets. That we don't set our targets too high that we can't achieve. Like, the one person like this, I can't get it in my notes. This was the one on the third report. What was the outcome? And the challenges that there are on the skills because that is involved in the ticket. How are you going to overcome that? And then the very last question, Chairperson, is on slide 40. Now there's one other one also that played over slide 40, the beneficiation there, the N12 route. And let's tell us what beneficiation was there for the communities on the N12 treasure route, especially with the previously disadvantaged groups such as the women and the youth and the disabled. Then here's also my very last one is it's something to do with funds that were paid over for the development of roads. I want to know from the chairman, is one of the things, I don't know exactly where it is, I'm not correct, but it's something to do with the development of roads and signage. I want to know, do you follow the money? Do you hold the relevant department accountable? If I find it later, I'll come back to it. If you'll give me the chance, chairperson, because I want to refer them to the specific slide. Thank you.
Now, thanks, Chair. I will be wasting time if I can just open. I think our honorable member has covered all the questions. But I think I just want to put it clear that the figure that has been shown here, they are very good figures, but like our honorable members mentioned that the impact of the project, we don't see it. And it will assist us if we go to oversight, to see the impact so that we can see the footprint of what the department has done. So it doesn't show yet. So that is where I think it's having a problem. So Chair, I don't want to dwell on other things because our members have discovered. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. My first question would be on the issue of targets. The department planned in the third quarter to achieve 91 targets, but in total, it only achieved 70 the targets in all the four programs. Now, my question then goes back to say, when the department plans targets, uses the SMART criteria, which is the criteria that is recommended by the AG. The target must be specific, it must be manageable, and it must be achievable. But what I see as a problem is that the department plans programs that are not entirely up to the department's ambit to implement. They rely at times on other entities or other people outside the department to achieve those targets. Now that becomes problematic because it then says you plan things which you will not be able to achieve. Perhaps can we get a response, DG, around this discrepancy when it relates to meeting your target. Then I tried very attentively to listen to you explaining why the NTSF, there's no vacuum around the NTSF. It's a 20-year plan. If it goes to, it's 2020, NTSF 2020. But you have not been reporting on the specific objectives of the NTSF. When it comes to, well, the NTSF is a strategic tool that speaks to job creation, how you will assist SMEs and how you would work towards service deliveries that are tangible, that speak to the electorate, that speak to the communities to say, out of this project or the data driven strategically by this NTSF, this is what we have been able to achieve. But you say there's no vacuum around this. How do you think that when we went to the Eastern Cape, I remember we asked in one meeting around how are they working along using the strategic objectives of the NTSF to achieve some of the work that they are doing. And the information on that was put in abeyance, they're trying to work on it, they're trying to put their own strategy that will be aligned to the NTSF, but they are not so sure because the NTSF is not workable, it's work in progress. You know, the provinces are really confused. But when you say here there's no objection around it, it then says you're speaking you are speaking the language problems are speaking this language. So I can still remember if the committee secretary can assist us to go back to there to minutes of our overnight visit, you'll see that provinces could not relate with the NTSF. They're trying to work around their own provincial strategies that will be linked to the NTSF. But because they are not so sure about what is happening with the current NTSF, they could not conclude their work. And then I want to come to the issue of the grading council, I mean the grading itself. Last week we met with the grading council. They gave us the same explanation that you are giving us now, that, you know, because grading is a voluntary exercise, you'd get a person that would grade today, and then come next year, they think the process will come back down, or they don't see the factor of goals or that are presented to them, and they don't see the need. But, I mean, they'll still have visitors coming in, whether they're graded or not. And then we spoke gently around how best can we look at benchmarking, what the European Union is or European countries are actually working on. Their grading is compulsory, and you know that this establishment is graded in 3-star. It's a 3-star, and it could be kept like that for maybe 5 years or until the establishment decides to work on giving it more stars and so on. But with us today, you would think this establishment is a 2-star or a 3-star, and then tomorrow you come there are no stars at all because they divide the stars as just too cumbersome for the basket of goods that are presented before them are not worth their while. Perhaps then it says us as policymakers, we should be looking at how best can we make grading a process that does not, that will not make our visitors not know where they stand with our establishment. Because it says, it also talks to us to say, we have been with this issue from when we started in 2014 in this portfolio committee, to say the grading is it's volatile, like, today it's more like things that are not predictable. Today this, today that, and all that. But then it doesn't give confidence to us as a country on our establishment. And the value that a traveler would want to experience in the country, an establishment that is presumed to be going to offer all this that does offer. Perhaps we should just with the recommendation chair work on some policy direction when it comes to this. And then my last question goes to the issue of domestic tourism. Most of my colleagues have mentioned the fact that you have trained but you are not able to place. That then says you are not working with, you're not working with the industry. You are not working with those that you are supposed to be working with. And then you also, I've also seen something here that says the domestic tourism growth strategy was not concluded due to the fact that the terms of reference are not yet approved and the service are not yet approved to the service provider. And there's also something that says that talks about the things that are not approved or things that within departments are not given to the next department to facilitate and to approve. It then also says amongst yourselves in the department, you are not working as a team. Because it's a hefty thing to say you are not able to conclude something that must be given to the service provider. It means that there are people that are simply not not part of the chain within the department. And then they talk to government itself within the department, DG. It says the organizational culture within the department is simply drifting or deteriorating to an extent that you are not able to work as a well-oiled machinery within the department. And I would want to actually get a response from you on how do you work? How are you not able to facilitate approval from this department to another section? And this then makes you not to achieve all your targets.
Hey, thank you very much, honorable members. Some of these questions cover the first term as well. So we sort of have done much of the first term with the questions that we have asked. But the letters that made you have them, you've got them, and we hope you respond to them. When you present your first quarter, you'll actually say that as reported in the previous sessions. But I cannot emphasize more what the honorable members have said, particularly on the economic impact on all these things. For instance, economic impact to the communities of this social responsibility implementation. Impact of domestic tourism. We would like to see how much domestic tourism has impacted on the community, on the economy, and so forth, because it makes us so envious of other countries. We are in Africa and are doing very well as far as domestic tourism is concerned. And also, I think one cannot further emphasize the need for intergovernmental relations around various aspects within the various departments that have an impact on tourism, because tourism is really moving around all those departments. If there's no development if the Department of Transport is not coming forward, tourism can't move. Local government not coming forward, tourism cannot move all of them. So how do you work together? And the issue of attractions, that one cannot be emphasized more. Tourism, the attractions, how are they made to be appreciated and also to keep the tourists coming to the country? But adding to that, I have some other things that have just taken place during the first quarter, not necessarily in your report. For instance, the issue of the Sodwana Bay racism complaint. How far has the department dealt with, whether it be provincial or national? If you communicate as provincial and national, how has the problem been taken up and what's the result? And also, one would like to know how has non-achievement of the FTE, as far as ETWP is concerned, affected the funds that come from Department of Public Works to the Department of Tourism? We really would like to know about that. And the program, page 4, CFO, administration. You have reported to us that the expenditure has been 98.9%, and treasury has stated that the expenditure has been 96.2%. So there's a discrepancy of about 2 million. Maybe you can respond to that. You can respond, but some of the questions cover the first quarter. And may I also say, I've just browsed through your report. You got a clean audit. Thank you for this question. But you got a clean audit. We congratulate you on that from the audit point of view, that we got this program that you are asking about. Maybe if you say honorable members, it would be important to ask if the Office of the Auditor General can use it other ways, which is the performance, so that we get value for money. The audit will be good technically, but
the value for money for the project, the programs that are being run by the department, so that we can say now what happened to the money. Your audit is right, but where is the value for money in this project? Thank you very much. DC and your team.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. We probably partly a victim of our own work, ethic, if I could put it that way. We report as transparently as we can, but at the same time, we attempt to adhere as much as we can to the standard formulation of how we are expected to report. So we are caught in that space. And it becomes very difficult sometimes to be able to provide the kind of information that is required. I'm going to give them the opportunity to the DDG to try and respond to some of the issues, and then I'll come back after the report. Yeah.
Thank you. I need to deal with the question on the workplace plan. Annually, when we contract our employees to perform a contract for a specific year, the supervisors are supposed to identify what areas of development are required for each employee. Then the work that we build the workplace skills plan. So they are identified annually depending on the needs of relevant employees. So for food and skills, for instance, obviously there is the induction work that must be done, introduce new entrants into the public service, which is compulsory. That falls under the workplace plan. Other types of training areas where on financial management, for executive development, management development, and research and policy development. So it depends really on the need for that. And if I can just clarify that, it is about internal staff members, not in the sector. So the workplace skills plan is about us. Chair, there was a question also related to why we formulate indicators in manner that we do from Honorable Adams. We are required to ensure that an indicator is multi-year. So we use the same indicator and set targets against that indicator for each year. So what we are saying in the indicator is what we will be measuring rather than how much we will be measuring. So we are saying we will be measuring the number of interventions, then we say in a targeted year that in this particular year we will measure so many and so many and so many. But it needs to be open ended so that you use the same indicator for the outside year as well. I think I can deal with the budget issue and performance, just that it related to the quarter. I think it already came for me. What type of complaints we receive. The current, if I can just go to my report, this year there has been quite a lot of complaints related to, for some reason, to refunds, to issue of refunds, where tourists think they deserve a refund from the product owner. And not all of the medicines that we are receiving this quarter we are talking about have been finally resolved, but they seem to get resolved. For instance, what has been overhead booked for 4 nights and now only needed today for 1 night and was promised a refund, and then but in the end it gets resolved. And there is another related to what the product owner says he is owed, and the relevant court doesn't think that he owes that amount. And the other relate to expectations. When I book at your establishment, what do I expect to receive in that area? So those are just examples of it. I think we can ask the permanent complaint officer to share this information with the council to the level of the state.
What I wanted to say is that what we could provide is to categorize the nature of complaints, because the extent that is involved and so on, and I think it would not be appropriate to give that information into the public domain. If we attempt in Parliament, it becomes a public domain, and we could expose the Parliament to all sorts of
survive in terms of quarter four, where we didn't achieve, but I also indicated that annually we exceeded the target. What happened is that we had skills development programs running in 9 provinces, which most of those started in quarter one. Hence, our target in quarter one was higher than the target set. And as they came off, quarter three and quarter four were affected. But overall, at the end of the year, the 3008 target that we set, we're able to exceed, I think, plus minus 66 is where extra. That is how quarter four looks like. It's very, very low, which is pretty slow, but annually we're able to recover because the other quarter one and quarter two, we're able to exceed the target. On the issue of how far are we in terms of negotiating with SANPAC, it was not only SANPAC we spoke to in terms of making sure that there is open access to the elected groups of our community. We're able to come up with a directory, we should call a social tourism directory, so that we share with these groups to be able to know where will they get this kind of rates when they go to. And I don't know if this is even, I need to indicate that we do have the directory, which we will be sharing as well with our doctor groupings, so that at the end of the year, they know where to go to. We're able to get those discounted rates. We've put them into a directory. We're sharing them with the relevant groupings. But at the same time, we're able to also, around June month, to have a group of young people around Pretoria in partnership with the city of as well as to be able to visit this attraction. In the month of September, this will be for the people with disabilities, and come October, the elderly will also be taken to this attraction. And in December, we are taking the doctor, as I said, we'll distribute the directory to them. On the issue of food safety, so there was an indication that it looks like we are not together with the industry. I would like to indicate that when we piloted the food safety, that has managed the program with the 3 provinces. Going forward in terms of opening it up to the rest of the country, from the cutoff point was they need to open it up to other service providers to be able to also indicate if they will be able to render the service, because now it will be moving into other provinces. This is where the delay emanated, added on by the procuring of the service provider in ensuring that we have these young people placed and matched. We are almost at the end of procuring the service provider to ensure that these food safety assurance programs go forward. The other issue was on credit excellence from Honorable Mafahel. In quarter four, it shows 2 provinces have been attended to, but the rest of the 7 were done in the previous quarter. So it's a problem that we have done, countrywide. On the rural enterprises coming from Honorable Alcohol, this is a program where we are giving support in terms of handholding the enterprises so that they become sustainable at the end. It's not a one-off and we give them not knowing where to go. We are still doing the 100 enterprises in this current financial year, and they will be existing in the next financial year. But added to that, we have an enterprise development program which will ensure that there will be further mentors or giving support in any other area that they will seek support from. On the skills report, which is doing, we're able to
to deal with the skills audit, which is not yet finally done. They will be wrapping up this month of September, and parallel to that, we should be coming up with a strategy which indicated that by November we'll be able to give us the draft strategy in terms of where are we going in terms of the skills issues that we have been identified. I think on the list of the FRI, because I think this will be shared.
Thank you very much. I want to start with the questions raised by Honourable Member Macavella around the National Skills and Sector Strategy. I think as the DG explained, until we actually publish and develop a new strategy, the National Tourism Sector Strategy published in 2011 remains in effect. The issue that you were raising around the challenges of provinces and alignment and uncertainty really relates to when the strategy was published in 2011, some provinces started immediately by developing provincial strategies then aligned to the 2011 strategy. Other provinces took a little bit longer to actually develop their own strategies that spoke specifically to the 2011 strategy. And during the review process, those provinces that took a longer time to actually begin developing their own strategies were concerned that they would find themselves in a situation where their strategies that were being developed at the same time as the review process was taking place would then find misalignment with the new strategy. We have worked very closely with provinces because the revised strategy is in fact a document that has been in the public domain that has been shared with provinces. And there are not huge fundamental departures from the 2011 strategy. What has actually happened in revised strategy is that there is now a sharper focus on those key areas which through our review we know need more in-depth attention. So we've been working very closely with provinces to ensure that they don't find themselves in a situation where they are misaligned. And I think largely some of the challenges and the concerns and uncertainties that were in place early in the review process are in fact no longer that much of a concern because the draft document actually provinces now have and they are able then to align substantially with what exists in the new draft strategy. To the questions related to grading which were raised by Honourable Member Adams. Honourable Member Adams, the grading program really is run with establishments, tourism establishments. And the calls and the proposals that were sent out really utilize the tourism database that the Tourism Grading Council has. What we saw with grading was in 2010, in order for people to actually qualify to be on the FIFA list of establishments that actually were accredited, people had to grade. So there was, in fact, although grading is a voluntary process, the FIFA 2010 World Cup almost made it an imperative for people who wanted to do business in that time to be graded. Since 2010, even the grading council has seen a drastic drop-off in those numbers because that element that was almost a compulsory element in 2010, grading is actually a voluntary element. So the department actually ran 7 calls for proposals. So the 5,700 odd number that I talk about is actually not a single call for proposals. There were 7 calls for proposals that were run. In our partnership with the TGCSA, we also make follow-ups with those members. So these are members who are some new entrants, some who actually are encouraged from a transformation perspective, but largely we want to target those people who have seen the benefit of grading before and have graded, but for some reason haven't renewed their grading in the second, third, fourth, or fifth year. It's very interesting because the TGCSA sees a lot of illegal use of the stars, which says that there is value in the grading process itself. But I think that we have been working very closely with them to try to understand why people haven't actually paid the fees. And I think that largely it's really the economic climate, and for a lot of establishments, it's not that they don't see a benefit. it's that they are actually in their economic climate to try to make ends meet. And this is one of the reasons that they may not necessarily do a new day grading. So the program in its initial phases was actually developed and designed in partnership with the provinces and with the business sector, because we were told that there was a need for us to provide an incentive program for grading. We were ourselves surprised by the low uptake then in numbers. We've actually embarked on an extensive review to understand why that is the case, and we're putting in place this year, in the now that the pilot's been completed, a process to try to address that. So in this financial year, we're really hoping to see a better uptake of the numbers, but to your question of are we actually investigating it, the answer is yes, very seriously. In order to understand why, given that our stakeholders have said that this is an area that is critically important for them. Honourable Member Fox, to the question around visitor information centres, there are in fact 223 visitor information centres across the country. The department, in recognising these as a very critical interface for visitors, has developed a framework for managing visitor information centres that looks not just at branding, but also looks at the quality of the experience of a visitor that goes to those information centres, as well as developed a training program to actually equip the staff that work at that centre. And there are quite a number of people who've been through the first training program. As to the question of why we're focusing on national tourism information centres and information centres at World Heritage Sites, it's really because we can't focus on all 223 centres. And we do have to prioritise those iconic sites across the country, which are a critical interface. So it's not that we don't work in partnership with our colleagues in the province with regard to these centres. Some of these are incidentally also privately run information centres. We do interface with them where that's possible, but we prioritise the National Tourism Information Gateway. The obvious beginning for a National Tourism Information Gateway and a partnership with the province, in the instance Gauteng, was of course our sample given the volumes. But in reality, we have worked at the same time with KwaZulu-Natal and with the Western Cape in talking about information centres that are located at the King Shaka International Airport and at the Cape Town International Airport. It's just that we concluded the discussions with KZN sooner than we concluded the discussions with our colleagues in the Western Cape. The information centres, this is, I think, an area of constant learning for us. Because even our colleagues in the Western Cape, where there are currently 17 information centres that are operational, say to us that if they actually, with the benefit of hindsight, were to start the project again, they would probably only run 9 of those 17 information centres in the province. And so this is an area certainly of extensive learning for us and continued learning, because the way visitors interface with information is constantly changing. So certainly the intention is to actually work, we currently are working with our team in the Western Cape on the Cape Town National Information Gateway. And certainly it is the intention then to have those 3 National Information Gateways operational at OR Sambo, Kishaka International, and the Cape Town International Airport.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. I will respond to the Honourable Mashela in terms of the received contradiction between slide 2 and 7. I think just to highlight that on slide 2, or which is on slide 4, the data that is given there, the expenditure is for the entire year. So it's up to March, whereas the performance is only given for quarter 4. So when we do the annual report, you will see a better correlation between the 2 slides.
Chair, with regard to your question on the administration, I am not sure which trends figures you are referring to, because the department submits its
annual financial statements to the National Treasury, and these are the audited figures that we submitted. This is also the figure that is published in our annual report. So I would like to know, in which term document that you get the figures, because then I can respond to your request. On the compensation on the goods and services, our percentage of 94.7% spending. Because we're working on a modified cash basis of accounting, we can only pay invoices that we received after the 31st of March. So any invoice that we received after the 31st of March, although the service has been rendered, is then paid in the next financial year. Now, in our annual report, when we do our annual report on page 173, we've got a note on accruals. So all those amounts are listed in the accrual, and that is amounts like our audit fees, our telephone charges, property payments, management facilities, external computer services, travel and assistance. It's all invoices that we receive after the 31st of March, and we get a detailed breakdown in our annual report after these accruals. So if we could have paid these amounts on a normal accrual accounting system, then obviously our percentage would have been much higher, and we would also appreciate because it means we spend more of our money in that specific financial year. The 16.7 million at the end of March, the amount that is available is left on our budget. That amount is get paid back to National Treasury. And then on the 30th of April, if any of these amounts are related to capital projects, we can request National Treasury for rollover funding. And that rollover funding then gets appropriated to the bank for Parliament in the adjusting budget of the financial year.
Thank you, all of your attention, honorable members, and thanks to the colleagues for the responses. There have been a number of strategic policy questions that have been raised, which I will attempt to respond where there is a policy position. But where there isn't an existing policy position, I would prefer that, because as officials, we don't have that. Indeed. The minister, with the complaints that were lodged with regard to the recent cases, specifically the department we dealt with two. The first one was a case in an area called Lumunle in Limpopo, where a young man who had gone to have a recreational time with his own parents. He's a black African, he's adopted by his white family, they have gone to this particular facility, and there was an incident of racism that actually happened within that facility, which led to the family leaving the facility. This matter was brought to our attention. We took the matter up with the Human Rights Commission. The matter has now been resolved, and the outcome of this resolution was that the operator of the facility admitted that he was wrong. That was one. The second thing was that he did offer an apology to the family and to his young man. The third thing was that he has also agreed to open his facility to divert it. But there are certain specific periods per quarter that he has also agreed that he will open that facility for to people of color. So these are matters that we are actually taking quite seriously. We are happy that they have in that kind of resolution, and it's a matter that the Human Rights Commission is quite awake. So clearly we have taken this particular matter to the matter that you specifically raised, which is a matter of program, We have accessed that matter also to the Human Rights Commission. The matter is currently under investigation. Gazerin has also taken the matter to the commission. But the matter was further taken to the commission by Islamganiso, Wetland Park, because of the proximity of the facility to where they are. So that matter is currently under investigation. We really take a very constitutional stance on the matter of racism, and we do not tolerate it. And we believe that all South Africans, such incidences, should they okay, wherever they okay, we must expose them and we must deal with them decisively. We're not yet at a point where we believe we must have over and above legislation on top of what the Constitution provides. And we know that the Human Rights Commission has actually been dealing with all these matters. But I can't say whether they're going to be sanctioned or not, I don't know. But at this point in time, when those matters come, we definitely take them very seriously. Minister issued several statements with regard to both cases. And he was on the court in terms of the position of government and the position of the department on these matters and the actions that were taken subsequently. On the issue, Chairman, of governance, I want to state that there's no leadership vacuum in this matter. That I want to state. And this is demonstrated in a number of ways. Honorable Chairman, you will recall last year when the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, Monitoring and Evaluation was still doing the old way of who's number one when it comes to management practices and so on and so forth. We were within the top five at the department, that was last year. And now they no longer say number one, number two, but our own score has actually increased compared to what it was last year. Again, we are not presenting the annual report that I did, but I would like to share that we have got a clean audit, no matter, none whatsoever. And this is after we have gone through rigorous processes of setting up systems that are robust to be able to allow us to pick up also on issues that we come back on, Honorable Chairperson, and is extremely transparent in terms of what exactly is the real problem with a particular project. And that is the kind of culture that we've inculcated within the department. So the question would be, and I do hear the honorable members, the question about why then do we have certain things that may not have been approved and so on. But when we work on these things, we have a particular project we've got to go through the terms of reference and so on. We really go quite thorough. Even these members of our top management team, they would sit and look at this particular project because of its significance. And we would go and robustly and thoroughly that. And none of them, including myself, would then attend a signature if we are not quite yet certified. We give the guidance, we do the work, but we must get to that point where we say, right, this is going to give it. Because the planning part for us must be the part where we give a lot more attention. It will allow us that in future we do not have challenges of coming back and saying, this is not working because of that, this is not working because of that. But we spend a lot more time on that particular planning aspect. And we will need to, as we go forward, there's a concept called sandbagging, which basically relates to setting targets to achieve them. It's something that if we do, honorable chairmen and honorable members, we will end up coming here year after year and say we actually are achieving 100% of our targets. But the question will be, is South Africa achieving what South Africa must achieve? And that it goes back to the question you were raising with regard to the index. So the robustness that we apply and the depth that we apply relates to that. And in the end, we really want to do what is best for South Africa. That really is where we are trying to get to. There will be things, I want to be open and honest about it, there will be things that we would have planned and gone through such rigor to be able to say these are the things that we will be able to, but still not be able to achieve them.
It happens everywhere. We see businesses going down from time to time. And it's not because they don't want to succeed. It's because certain environments may lead to a situation where they are not able to actually get to those results. I now want to go back to the key issues that relate to intergovernmental relations. The VEGs have meeting with their counterparts on a regular basis, quarterly basis. There's like standard meetings that they have. They go through the programs, try to unblock things from the provinces and so on. I have my meetings with all the HODs. We have this meeting on a quarterly basis. We go through things where we have to unlock certain things and so on. Those are formal set meetings, which are followed by ministers meetings with the MECs on a quarterly basis. And we do the same. But besides those, I go to these HODs, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes depending on the key issue that was reflected on the other meeting, I would take a relevant DDG and we go and sit down and look at these things in much further detail as to what it is that we are supposed to actually assist with as a national department. But of course, tourism being a concurrent mandate, I want to concede it's not easy. It's not easy because that concurrency applies even in matters of policy. So it's really not easy. There are provinces, for instance, where there is a particular legislative approach on a certain issue, but it's not necessarily the same as the overall legislative approach nationally, and it depends on which province decides on which particular aspect. But when it comes to implementation, often when we go even at local government level, you would hear the officials at local government saying, we have tourism here, but it's an unfunded mandate. And the fundamental question that comes in is, if it is a mandate, why is it not funded? And it is in that space that as those municipalities decide on the prioritization of that particular area, it then becomes part of the IDPs, it becomes part of the budgeting. We do our part in terms of reaching out to the municipalities, including the capacity building that we do, including the assistance with the actual playing on the ground, where we actually go to the particular places and assist in terms of systems when it comes to how they can work better with the regional tourism organizations and so on. We do that. But at the end of the day, we all have to play that part, all of us. Whether it is ourselves, whether it is provinces, whether it is municipalities, all of us must actually come together. At the national level, we work well with all our colleagues. Of course, the main thing, I want to reinforce the fact that at the end of the day, it's about the balancing act. So somebody has got a particular mandate, I've got a mandate to make sure that tourism rises in the country. I will go and argue that tourism will be supported in a particular way. But of course, there will be other positions in terms of what else also is got to be included within that context. Let me give you a typical example. We talking about a road, and there's supposed to be a decision as to whether this road is supposed to go to a particular location where there is a lot of people living in that context, or it's supposed to go to a particular area that deals with the concentration of tourism products. That is where we get involved in terms of what then should be, what then should go. Now, going back to that, we have in the next presentation, in this year's plan, we've got this master plan of, what do we call it? Infrastructure master plan. So it talks about, so we want to see the totality of the issue that the Honourable Bloomberg is talking about. Where are these places? What sort of infrastructure do they require? How then do we make sure that we lobby those that should assist us in that regard to get that? Similarly, we are also doing a product development master plan. So these will then integrate these issues that we're talking about. Not working by ourselves, we're working with the provinces on these issues. Similarly, we are doing this work that we recorded this before, that we are doing some work on the cautious economy. There are certain areas that have got hidden gems
along the coast that are trying to identify pullers. But as you get it, then you realize what then should come with that particular investment. And sometimes it's quite a lot of investment that must go in before we even get into that particular thing. But we are actually aware of these issues, and the issues that we're trying to manage as we go. The issues pertaining to the value of paving, I think Shabbat has dealt with it, but the issue as to whether voluntary or not, it would also be very interesting to hear what the views of the industry have on that. What I know is that what we're doing currently, we have a grading system which is quite robust, which is an envy of many countries in the continent. I can say that for the record. And everywhere we go, they tell us about it. They would like to hear from our system. That's why we have tried to try and get support with that. The Zambians want support of that nature. And these are the kind of things that, in the end, we then realize that we do have a credible system in place. That's the first thing. The second issue about this particular system then becomes, in the plethora of all these social media-based assessment programs, trip advisors and so on, how then do we make sure that we don't lose credibility of our system? We have a relationship of integration of the system between ourselves as the grading council, as well as the side of TripAdvisor. So we're able to see these sites and these comments, do they correlate? And often they actually do. And that's why even in our Lizella was that component of issues coming from TripAdvisor, and so really becomes a bigger part of how then we actually make the overall judgment. Cruise tourism, this question was asked, I believe it's going to be fully determined when we actually have the outcome of this ocean's economy signed off and say what exactly the position is. There are different views currently. I will share his views and not necessarily make a policy announcement. Initially, the idea of actually having cruise ships coming in and so on, there were ships that would come in, tempting. They would dock in our ports. They would load South Africans. And most, they would actually take one South African or two South African entertainers on board. They will cruise with them to either up the coast to the Mozambican islands or towards the Madagascar side and so on, and then they will also come back again and offload those people and take them as group. That was literally shipping out money, just under 300 million rand through that kind of approach. And the people that were working in those ships were not South African. They were not South African. They were in there, they would work it, and they would go. There would be a little bit of supplies that would be bought here and there. There are certain policy issues that we've got to deal with, and this was really a major concern for the country to say, if we were going to go that route, then what does it mean? So that was one of the things, and these are things that we actually took to Dinmec, and we deliberated on these things in Sarah detail. Remember, there are several things we came to, and we were still assisting. The final decision on that matter at that time was, rather, we try and see along the coastal provinces how each province deals with this. Feedback that we then got subsequent to that. KZN side, they went and looked at kind of a study tour and trying to speak to different providers of the services. And there are different options. One is an option of taking people that could bring their ships on a charter basis. but would have to come at a particular period when it's low season in the areas where they normally operate, which is the Caribbean and so on and so forth. And then you've got to discuss the details of the funding models to be able to get them here and be able to operate them during that particular period. So there are certain issues that have got to be dealt with within that particular context. The ships are not necessarily South African flagged. They're not necessarily South African flagged. So there are a whole host of issues that have got to be dealt with. There is a different proposition which says, in cases where you can bring a ship full of people, that's the kind of, Honorable Chairperson, through you, Honorable, that's the kind of cruise tourism that's got a different nuance to benefiting South Africa. It comes with people. They get off the ship, they come in, and they are able to utilize our facilities. And they are able to also stop in, and when they leave, they will just get. So that actually gives us a little bit of a different spin to this. So there's a whole host of work that is actually being done within this kind of context. And when that work has been concluded and kind of, we'll then be able to share and raise this in the position.
So on that one, DG, it's work in progress.
It is work in progress. It's not far from conclusion.
But
in terms of that position.
Can I stop you there and ask that you quickly go over the first quarter report so that we're able to interrogate as well? The figure I'm talking about came from the Treasury website, and it's been given to the Committee on Appropriations. That's where I got it from. Thank you. So maybe if you agree, Honourable Member, can you quickly go over the third quarter report? Same to say that I was impressed to see that in the third quarter report, they actually stating even the variances and the corrective measures for a change. Can you include on the third quarter report? I think it sort of covers some of the things that were in the... The third quarter report covers some of the things that were in the one quarter report. If you agree, Honourable Members, over to you, DGMC.
I think they will start to go.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, before you start, let's see outside for those who are not talking here at this point in time to grab the camera. Thank you.
On page 4, this is our budget information for the first quarter up to the end of June. Again, our spending at this stage is 90%, policy and knowledge services 50%, international tourism 27%, and domestic tourism 90%, and total percent 37%. Just to say that on policy and knowledge services, the reason why the spending is quite high is that we pay SA Tourism marketing funding in April over to SA Tourism for them to be able to transfer the money to their offices overseas due to the exchange rate. It's just a measure that we do to assist SA Tourism. On the next slide, page 5, our current payment percentage is 13% spending. You can see that our compensation of employees is 24%. The first 3 months should be about 25%, so we're nearly on top there. Our transfers is once again at 51%. That is due to the transfers to the SA Tourism, which is quite big. That is the 60% transfer. And then on our capital assets, 14%. And then the total our spending is for first quarter 37%, and it was 753 million rand that we spent.
And it shows slide 7, the total amount of some of the milestones that we were measuring in this quarter was 91 of the 70 were fully achieved, and 11 of the 91 we had significant work done but not quite completed. And the significant delays with 10 of the 91. The next page, slide 8, chapter Z information in a pie chart form. And the next four slides, 9 to 12, really pick up on what falls under that yellow and red category. But like the chairman has said, the report under each branch then indicates what are the issues each of those men don't. So I will go straight to slide 14 at the beginning of what under program 1. Chair, with regards to program 1, you would have also said in my earlier presentation that it covers a lot of our regulated space, our compliance issues. And I'm going to keep in my sense when I talk to the business performance issues, the risk issues, the oversight issues. I would like to go to the indicator number 4, which is on slide 16, which talks to women representation. This is a very sensitive target in that it's very easy to move one way or another with movement, with people, whether people are coming in or going out, and the target being at 50%. We do want to stay at 50% or slightly above, but we must also manage that we don't go too far beyond 50% delay. So we try and really manage that sensitive in the manner that we recruit. That when we have lower than 50% women in the management service, we have targeted recruitment that invites qualified women into the space. I will also then add up deal with the issues where we had another yellow with regard to our work on communication. There were three specific deliverables that were not met in this quarter one requirement process. The one related to the meeting where our head of communication meets with his peers at provincial level, it is called the Tourism Communication Forum. The meeting was just 5 days beyond. It didn't happen for the second 5 days beyond the reporting period, so that work has been met already. As well as we were a little bit behind in the finalization of our revised corporate identity manual, which has since been approved as well. And at that point, we didn't have a provider who does the quarterly, rather the monitoring, the media monitoring work for us. So that as well has since been caught up with. I will also speak to slide 23, where we are finalizing a procedure for lodging of tourist complaints. The department identified this area as one of those key service delivery improvement areas we would like to do, and we thought that if we can find a way to provide guidance on procedure and manner in which tourists can lodge a complaint with a complaint officer, we need to, and we also require the Chamber of the Act to develop regulations that provide that guidance. And here, although that report has been possible, was made, we did not achieve the completion of the draft in the quarter, and also in this particular quarter. For program one, those are the ones that had issues. Otherwise, all of the other targets were on target, on time.
Thank you, COO. Our chamber follows the same route as the COO, given the timing. The Policy and Knowledge Services has 37 targets on the ADP for this year. 31 of those were met and 6 were not met. I want to move to the first one that was not met, which is on page 27. This relates to the BE study that is being concluded. The portfolio committee will be aware that we published new regulations related to BEE, and that was presented in May. So this study is really looking at compliance related to the new codes. We've had delays in actually appointing a service provider, and part of that delay was that we have a new charter council that has been appointed in June. We thought it wise to consult with the charter council on the terms of reference, in order to actually receive their input, as the study actually will inform and provide the basis for their work going forward. Since this, we have in fact now appointed the service provider and work has commenced on the study. The next one also relates to the target not met, which is 29,
And there are in fact three programs which I will speak to simultaneously, which are on slides 29, 30 and 31. They all relate to the program for guiding. There are three different programs. One that works with World Heritage Sites. The second one that is actually looking at training new entrants into guiding. And the third one that is focused on continuous professional development. We have had some challenges related to all of these in terms of, firstly, the specifications that were developed were sent out to all of the service providers on our database. The responses that we received actually didn't comply with what was written in the specifications. From that perspective, we are then obligated to take discussions with those who actually responded to the term of reference to seek further clarity on this. And that really has had a result in actually delaying the procurement on all three of these. Subsequent to the end of the quarter, of course, we have in fact now made two of those three appointments and are in the final stage of making the third appointment. We don't think that the delay in meeting these targets in quarter one are in fact going to impact at all on our annual targets. So we're confident that the annual target will be met. And we are putting in place plans to actually ensure that that is in fact the case. I'm going to skip through all of the others and then move to slide 37, which is the last two that were not achieved. And these relate to the mobile app development for the visitor information centers and for the tourist guides. I think in beginning to implement this work, what we discovered was that there were a few provinces that were also developing apps specifically for their provinces. We then actually had to engage with them in an extensive discussion to understand what was the nature of the technical specifications of their apps and what were the areas that were covered. It also meant that we needed to think quite carefully about where it was possible for us to find synergies with their work as well as synergies with our work to actually get better value for money. And in some instances, we actually have to review and work with them on their processes as well as our processes to make sure that the technical specifications didn't overlap. That actually consultation resulted in a delay around us actually being able to publish our own tender. And this actually is a tender process, which means time frames are much longer for appointments. We have actually finalized our specifications for both of these apps now, and we are confident that there is no overlap with the work that is being done by provinces, and that in fact provinces and national will actually benefit from the process. I am correctly informed that we have had a briefing with a potential service providers, so this has been advertised, and the briefing session has now been held. Appointments with both of these is anticipated in October, and my team has informed me that they are working in terms of the ways the specifications have been written to actually run various testings of the app itself simultaneously so that we don't compromise on delivering on the annual target. I think with that I'm going to stop.
Thanks, Jamila. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I will also report on those targets that the branch is not, the program did not fully achieve in the first quarter. The first one is on page 42, and it relates to the Russian training, language training for tourist guides, and the fact that we did not do the introductory phase in the first quarter. The reason behind that, Honourable Chair, is that in our current APP, we have Russian training being conducted in this financial year and planning for Mandarin being conducted in the next financial year. But upon further deliberations, we decided that we want to move the Mandarin training forward, so that both Russian and Mandarin will happen in this financial year and not Mandarin in the next financial year. So in planning both of them in the first quarter, it had an effect on the implementation of the Russian training. But I'm happy to report that both will start in September. So it was just moving forward the Mandarin that had impact on the Russian training for the first quarter. But moving forward, all will be... The second one is on page 47, and it relates to a terms of reference for the capacity building program for effective market access, participation market access program. This target links to many other targets that we are currently working on in the department. It has a direct impact on the market access program of the tourism incentive program, and it also links to the enterprise development program, their market access area of the enterprise development program. And we wanted to make sure that all that we are in aligned with all our terms of reference and implementation in terms of all three projects, so that we don't find out later that we are not aligned. So that delays the process slightly, but we are confident, Chair and Honourable Members, that we will be able to deliver by the end of the financial year. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the domestic tourism management grant, all in all we have 21 targets, 11 were fully achieved, 8 not achieved, 2 significant work has been done. On the first one, which is on the domestic tourism growth strategy, we indicated that we could have come up with a trend of disruption in the first quarter, which we didn't. But what we have done thus far is that appointment has been done of the providers to us in that review, and the report will be given to us end of this month. The other highlight is on the enterprise development, where we expected to come up with a portal to implement the portal. We had to make sure that we align ourselves to the corporate branding identity of the department as well as the GCIS, which has been approved now, and this portal will be running live in not a long time within the near future. The other targets are mainly on the training program. All in all, these training programs are 8. In number, the health, the food safety, the body, the familiar, yes. Those are the training programs, which may be the delay on the personal side of things. Most of them will be starting in the following process. The other target not met is on the
minister can also tell us the vision and plan.
Oh, the plan. Okay. The previous where I was talking about the training program on the 8th, but on page and in slide 53. Runs to 54, 55. And the other one is on the 4 iconic sites, where only 3 MOAs have been signed. We are still left with 1. Slide 58. Then on the slide 59, it is on the blue flag, the 50 beaches which were identified. Now we have to identify or recruit 200 young people, which we have done. The program will be commencing in October. It was supposed to be launched end of this month, but it has gone into the first quarter, I mean the first 2 weeks of October. And on slide 60, it's on the infrastructure and sustainability indicator, where we're supposed to come up with a framework. We have a draft framework which we have developed, but we are also expected to come up with an SLA with IDC, and we realize that some of the things we might need to not do on our own,
but we haven't budgeted for them simply because in the beginning when we sent for this, we thought we sent it in Chennai. But we will be able to make sure that by the end of the year we have something on the table. And the last one is on the FTE, ECWT, which we are expected to have done or supported 523 worth of opportunities, FTEs. We only managed to do 278. Simply because most of these FTEs come out of the training program that has indicated that we had delayed intake of programs. Thank you very much.
Questions? Why the talk about is the word outstanding from the previous quarter, which we actually saw when we're reading that the fourth quarter, that no, that they are not doing well. Now they're giving us the variances. The questions from Kubera.
Thank you. I just have just one question. Needs to be clarified. Chairperson, by the DG. If I have captured you correctly, DG, you say not achieving targets is not problematic. It just means that you are not able to achieve some targets. It's one thing to meet them and tick and come here. Say you have met them, and it's another thing to come here and say you have not met the target because of 1, 2, and 3. If I picture you correctly, because since again, I would think it's very problematic to plan on something and not deliver on what you have planned. It then says there is an issue there. We must now read between the lines. If you plan to do something, you must be able to say at least you are halfway. For an example, when we look at the domestic program, you plan for 21, but you achieved only 11, and you have about 10 which you have not achieved. Which then comes back to the SMART criteria planning around your work. When I look at it, I'm taking this back because to you, DJ, because if you say planning is just ticking off and coming here, if you have not done what you're supposed to do, it's well and good and fine. From what I've picked up, you correct me if perhaps I partially heard you. But I don't want her to comment mediocre when it comes to what you are supposed to be doing, especially from you. Because if you then come in and say, based on this, the department, or based on comparison with other departments, this department is at this position. But when we are reading through your work, we can see that between departments there is no synergy. That within internal structures within the department, because when we look at issues of internal audit, it says to us there is potential risk within internal audit. Because if one arm is supposed to hand over what to the other arm, and there are delays, you know, it's not just one delay, there are more delays in doing this, more delays in doing this. It then says to others, people who are actually doing oversight on the department, we should then start to read between the lines and see whether is there a concern. What you need to do is to inspire confidence in us, to say, yes, you see this, but we are working on tightening the schools where we see that the
the chains are not working together. But then if you just come and say, no, we don't need this, but then we can come to the Portfolio Committee and just tell you that we have not met this, it's good and fine. It then becomes problematic. I would say we are expecting the department to tell us where they set on both languages and actually to ask, will you have the energy to push them till the end of the financial year or beyond. We were worried about the beaches because blue flag is very important to attract tourists. You said you will start in October. And in the next quarterly report, we are hoping we'll get that information. All the information where there are variances, we are hoping to get real things. Because for now, maybe to ask from the three FO, where you first term, I understand, you overspent instead of 2.5%, you went up a little bit to give to NHA for hedging, I think. So, yeah. On that note, Gigi, all the questions are to Gigi. You answer Gigi for the other.
That's I'm the accounting officer, so I end up with all the questions. That's correct. CFO will give me assistance with the financial question. Honorable gentlemen, I think if we somewhat sounded to be saying that we are not content, it's not our intention. When they have not achieved targets, we do get content, very content. And of course, I think the committee should also be content if we don't meet targets. What we are saying, which has said, is that there will be instances, and there will always be, there will be instances where we have done all we can, but still not be able to achieve what we had planned. So those things do happen. But the present then becomes, how far are we from what we really said we were going to do? I want to give Honorable Chairman an example, a specific example. Last year we said that in Robben Island we would like to actually do a retrofitment, a little retrofitment. A site was identified, a site was confirmed, and this was pre-planning, before we even say, now let's start. The beginning of the year, we knew that site will be where we do this. In the middle of the year, that site required that we now do an EIA. That EIA was not part of the plan, could not have been part of the plan because it was not part of it. It was a site already agreed. So we then go and we do that EIA. The EIA gets done, independent process, it gets completed. It has to have a period which was open for appeal. The appeal gets done and then adjudicated and so on, and they conclude that particular process, and unfortunately they come again and say, now this is it, you are allowed to do this thing in that particular site. And at that point, only at that point, is when I then find the contract with that particular service provider and say, you can do this thing. But in between that particular period, we are doing all we can to make sure that ultimately we have got this thing done and done correctly. So those kind of triggers will come from time to time. Some of them were able to foresee and be able to avert. Others were not able to. There were instances previously where you would have a particular site
which is affected by what you've just started to do the full thing and so on, the land claim comes onto that side. And on top of that land claim, every demarcation depends on that side. So it's got a new municipality that has got to be negotiated with and look at it. So these are matters that we are not able to see more things. I'm the most concerned, Honorable Macquarie, through your institution, I'm the most concerned about whether we have performed certain things and we performed well. What I was trying to explain earlier is that in doing so, all of us as the leadership, the administrative leadership, including minister and the political leadership and the deputy minister, these are matters that occupy us, we sit with them and we discuss them to say why are we at this point, why not, and we are able to elaborate where we are. So that's why as we now explain these variances, you will see most instances this is where it is. In some instances you will find, let me give you one other example, which would relate to one of the training projects. For legal reasons, I will not specify which one. But...
Sorry, Titi, before you go to this one, since that you spoke about German Island, and when we're debating this other year, we talked about German Island and Fredericko Dome. Mm-hmm. How far is the Fredericko Dome? Then you can go to the one that's about to start.
I'll come to the crazy photo. So when we were, maybe let me start with the crazy photo. We have now received an engineering technical report with details of what exactly are the issues with the structure itself. Initially, what we were told was that the place is dramatic and so on and so forth, and we said we can't take such words. We had a geological report that told us that that's not necessarily the case. And it turned out that the structure, as water came on top of it, there was a certain portion where it actually was getting into the structure. And this is what was leading to the cracks that were in that particular structure. And now that is what we are actually going to be facing in terms of the flow of water on the roof and whatever, all the kind of thing. So these are some of the technical issues that we have got to actually get a grip with, but we rely on expertise of people that are responsible, that really have the technical know-how and so on. They've given us that support, and then now we're actually going into the more details of then fixing the structure and making sure that then it is fully operational. Everything that we have done in that particular structure, if you go outside, you will still find those things that day. But we need to make sure that the strength of the structure is not impacted by the loads of the water that's actually the most of the water that comes on top of it and so on. So those are the kind of things that we go through in each and every one of these projects, whether they are SRI projects and these other types of projects that are kind of soft projects. We go through that rigor, and we want to be able to really get to a point where we say, what exactly is the real problem? But in the end, of course, it does affect what the outcome becomes and so on and so forth. But as we progress, we are able to then show the results to say, this is what we've been able to achieve. So if you take, for instance, the previous year, we were at 80. Just under 85% of the target of the entire year. But we had other targets that were actually in what we would call the yellow zone, and very few targets that were actually in the red zone. And we always strive to make sure that we should get as close to all green as possible, but there will always be some factors that would affect us in that process. And we are indeed concerned about those kind of things. I would give to the CFO to talk about the money.
I think your question was, if 37% spending is related to the transfer of the money to SIT. It is, I would say. We transfer the marketing money, all the international marketing money in April to AIT, so that I can then transfer it over to the foreign offices.
No questions
from honorable members.
We would like to know.
Anything
to do with oversight or SAT. And give us whatever information.
Honorable Chairperson, we do support the Minister in doing oversight on SDGs. We do it at various levels. I, together with the entire team that's sitting here, from the CFO and myself, we have scheduled bilaterals with SDGs on a regular basis. And on the other side, it will be their CEO, it will be their CFO, it will be the various representatives responsible for either the convention bureau or the marketing side, the chief marketing officer, or the training side. And we go through the strategic propositions and so on. We are mindful while we're doing that minister is a board. And the board is the one that makes recommendations to the minister. And we have the responsibility to then accordingly advise the minister on what we are doing. But there is the synergy in what we do. You would have seen as an example in the last year, the two events that I think I should have spoken about, the African Ministerial. When you see it, as we present here, it looks like a very new thing, but it's so critical, and most of these African ministers have been saying, this platform is helping them to actually have a better appreciation of what are the synergies that we can cooperate among the different countries. And it allows, for instance, last year the issue we were discussing, there were issues about brand Africa, perceptions around it, and certain realities and some of the things that need to be addressed. So as we have those kind of platforms, LEC would then ask as an agency of the department to say, could you assist us with execution of the logistics of this and so on? But we conceptually deal with that. You would have seen when the honorable member went to another, there was a very sharp focus on SMEs. Very, very dedicated. That is a departmental program. So we have serious working with SEC. The way that, for instance, all the things that we are now seeing, improvements in India, improvements in China, and so on, we work together on those things and make sure that on the ground there is a lot more energy. But we do that. The COO is part of the team that does technical oversight, supported internally. PAS has a particular role they play in that. International, there's a particular role. Domestic, when it comes to matters of domestic tourism, they've got a very specific role. So everybody is actually involved in that, the whole approach, and then fully coordinated in the end, by saying to your get to the point where we are making specific recommendations to the minister. They are always on the other, and hardly a week goes by without me having a discussion of sort with the acting CEO. Similarly, they have their own sessions which are independent of this process that I mentioned. Thank you.
On the CG and the department, thank you very much. For the committee, just a few announcements. There is the program for Northwest. I'm sure it's there in your pen. And the menu will address them at the office, during overtime. I hope that it's taken note by the honorable members. And honorable Paula, I'm sure you're going with us to the Northwest office.
Definitely, I'm
very
committed to the
committee. Okay. We'll be having one to Pumalanga the week following. We'll be going to that one. On that note, I would like to thank everyone for the participation and for the active participation. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful flight. On Tuesday, we'll be in the house. After the house, what the house is at then, we went to the airport. We had to sleep at a house in John Bay and fly the following day. 7. I hope I have a good course. Despite all the new arrivals and whatever, you will have the time to go to the invitation and of the on our behalf.
Thank you.